If you have your Bible today, turn over to Proverbs chapter 2. We're going to focus in on verses 1 through 10 today. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And so this is part 3 in our series that we've been going through together, the if-thens of the Bible. And so there's a lot of these conditional promises throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament that we have, and so it's based on if we do this, then God's going to do this. And so we'll look at another one today, Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. I know we have some history people in here, but there was an archaeologist several years ago by the name of Howard Carter, and for more than 30 years, he searched the deserts of Egypt for something that most people thought didn't even exist. And that was the tomb of King Tut, right? Most experts believe that everything in the Valley of the Kings had already been discovered, so they didn't think it was there. But Howard Carter continued his search, and eventually, after 5 more years without result, his sponsor, who was Lord Carnarvon of England, declared that he would stop funding the search. But in November of 1922, during his final season of work, Carter uncovered a hidden staircase near the tomb of Ramses VI. And he sent a cable to England which said, "At last have made wonderful discovery in valley, a magnificent tomb with seals intact." And indeed, Carter had located the tomb of King Tut, one of the greatest archaeological treasures ever discovered. And so after months of careful work, the golden treasures of the tomb were cataloged with the first intact royal mummy ever found, and it was removed from that place where it had rested for more than 3,000 years. And thinking about that, Howard Carter's search was driven by his firm belief that there was treasure to be found. Though he couldn't be certain of the treasure, he knew that there was treasure to be found. But unlike Howard Carter, our passage this morning shows us that we are guaranteed to find a great treasure if we pursue God, if we pursue His Word. And so let's take a look at what it is. Let's read our scripture together to find out. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. "My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, listening closely to wisdom and directing your heart to understanding, furthermore, if you call out to insight and lift your voice to understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it like hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom from his mouth, from the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up success for the upright. He is a shield for those who live with integrity, so that he may guard the path of justice and protect the way of his loyal followers. Then you will understand righteousness, justice, and integrity with every good path. For wisdom will enter your mind, and knowledge will delight in your heart. And may God add his blessing to the reading of his word." So there are several things here that we see in the first 4 verses. There are several ifs. And we're going to look at all of them, but I'm not going to spend a whole long time because it would take us half the day, maybe the whole day, to get through them. But we're going to look at them because these are the things that are our part. If you do this, then God says he will do this. So let's take a look. Number one, if you accept my words. That's the first part of it. Accept my words. Let me ask you a question. What happens when you accept something? Think about that for a minute. If you are accepting of something or an object or a way of life, when you accept that, that means that you give your approval of whatever that is. In a sense, you make that belief or that thing yours. Okay? I accept this, so therefore I believe it, I make it mine, I internalize it, whatever. This is exactly what we do when we talk about accept my words. This is what happens when we accept God's word. We internalize it. We believe it. We make it ours. We say that this is what I believe, and so I'm accepting of this. And so there's no doubt in my mind that this is not true, okay? So we internalize it and we make it ours. You adopt it and you make it your way of life. So that's the first part. He says, accept my words. And then what does he say? He said, if you store up my commands. That's the next part. If you store up my commands. The Hebrew word commands, maybe you know this, maybe you don't, is mitzvah. Now, where have you heard that word before? Right? Bar mitzvah. It's the same word used in a bar mitzvah. And so when a Jewish youth becomes of age at his bar mitzvah, he becomes responsible for the commands of God. That's what that whole thing is. He becomes responsible for the commands of God. So when you think about your life, a lot of us like to store things, right? Maybe you've got a lot of storage things in your basement. Recently, my kids, it was one of my one of our Christmas presents. All of my kids came over and they helped us go through all of our stuff in our basement. And there was a lot of stuff, okay? Not only was our stuff from, you know, 30 plus years of marriage, all my mom's stuff was down there after she passed away. And so we went through all those boxes, all that stuff that we'd been storing down there for years. It was not a pleasant experience. But these things were valuable to us, and so we didn't want to just throw them out. We needed to go through them and categorize and give some things away and keep things. Some things were thrown away, but they were valuable to us. And so when we store something, this indicates that we hold it in great value. Now, I can tell you that the food that we store at Palterra's food pantry is valuable to us, and we have to store food because we feed a lot of people. Occasionally, we have to throw out different food items, whether it be meat or whatever, that is spoiled in a freezer that may be malfunctioned. And when we do, especially with the meat, when we throw that out, it's hard to do that because this is valuable stuff. Obviously, we don't want to give rotten meat out to our clients, but it makes my heart cringe. It makes me sad to have to throw it out because this food is valuable that we could have used to feed our clients, but we hold it in great value. Well, that's exactly what we're talking about here in Proverbs 2. Because Solomon says God's word is valuable. God's word is valuable. And basically saying it's worth storing up. You know, not storing from the sense of letting it stay there, never letting it live out, but storing it up, understanding that it's valuable, making it a habit of implanting God's words in our heart. And so that's a question for us today is, do we make a habit of implanting the words of God in our hearts? What kind of value have we placed upon God's word? We talked about last week when we say our pledges at VBS, we say a pledge to the Bible. You know, God's holy word will make it a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path, and hide its words in our heart that we might not sin against God. And I told you, since I was a little boy, I've been saying that pledge. And God has used that pledge, you know, from a little boy up until now to understand and apply upon me that God's word is valuable, that it's a treasure, and that I should hold it up in great value. So what kind of value have you placed upon God's word? Store it up. The next thing he talks about, if you listen closely, if you listen closely. Now, the other day I had to do something that's a necessary evil that we all have to do from time to time, and that's visit the St. Charles Department of Motor Vehicles. I don't know about you, but that is not a fun time. And that's time that's necessary, but time that I can't get back. And we had to get Allison's tags renewed for her car. And so when I go in there, there's a fair amount of people, but not as crowded as usual, probably because I didn't wait till the last minute, you know. Now, I don't know about you, but I hate to go to the DMV. And I didn't want to be there any longer than I had to, so I go inside and I check in, and then I sit down and wait for my name to be called. Now, I want you to know that I did not want to miss my name being called, so I didn't get out my phone, I didn't scroll through Facebook, I didn't play a game, because I wanted to listen when my name was called. I wanted to jump up, get my business done, and be out of there. Now, I was noticing other people, they were playing on their phones. Some of them missed their name being called. because they were so distracted by their phone. But not this guy. I was listening closely for my name to be called because I didn't want to miss that opportunity. I was not distracted in the least little bit. And I'm afraid too often you and I are too distracted to hear God speak to us, especially when we read his word. Now listen, I know life gets in the way. And if you're like me, when you're reading the Bible or reading a book or whatever, your mind begins to wander. You're thinking about all these other things, and pretty soon you've read two or three pages and you're like, man, I don't know what I just read. And you got to go back to it. But sometimes we're so distracted to hear God when he speaks to us. And when we read his word, we have to make sure we're listening closely, to make sure we're getting the things that God wants to share with us. You don't want it to just go in one ear and out the other. We got to pay attention. We have to listen closely and to get what God is saying to us. The next part of the if, he says, direct your heart. If you direct your heart. This means that we must be prepared to listen to God. Be prepared to listen to God. Maybe we need to make adjustments so that we put ourselves in the right position to hear from God. Obviously, one of the places that we hear from God is at church or Sunday school or a Bible study together with other people. But you know, we have to get here, right? We have to be here. And maybe you've heard this statement before. Sunday morning worship is a Saturday night decision. Sometimes we have to get ourselves to the point where we're going to say, you know what, we're going to church tomorrow. And so I got to get my clothes ready, wash, whatever I got to do, get myself prepared, because Sunday morning is going to be crazy. And I don't know about you, when we had little kids, everything goes wrong on Sunday morning, you know, and you're trying to get everybody ready. So you got to be prepared to get here. So direct your heart. Many times the ability to hear from God takes planning. It takes determination. We have to be ready to hear. That's why it says direct your heart. There's two more ifs and then we'll get to the then. The next thing that we look at, he says, if you call out to insight and lift your voice to understanding. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you've literally, in an audible voice, God, I want you to speak to me today? When was the last time you asked that of God? Because I think a lot of times we go into reading God's word and we just get into it because it's what we do. And that's not bad. I'm not saying that. But before we read from God's word, say, Lord, through your Holy Spirit, would you speak to me today? This is perhaps the best way to hear from him. It's kind of like the way that we call out to our children when we can't find them. You know, your kids are outside or maybe they got away from you at the zoo or something. You know, you're frantically calling where your kids are. You're calling their name. It's kind of like that. You know, it's like when we call out for our kids and we can't find them, in the same way we need to raise our voice to God and ask him to give us understanding, like, hey, wisdom, where are you? God, can you speak to me today? I want to hear from you. And to put ourselves in a position to hear from the Lord. So call out to insight. Lift your voice to understanding. And then finally, he says, if you seek and search. That's the next part. If you seek and search. We have to seek after God with the same, in the same way that we would seek out a hidden treasure. Like Howard Clark that we talked about earlier. Seeking out this great treasure. He was determined. He directed his path. He did all this stuff. And we have to, in that same way, we have to seek after God as if we were seeking out a hidden treasure. And even Jesus talked about a parable, that parable of the hidden treasure, right? He was talking about this guy that knew that there was this valuable treasure in this field. And so what did he do? He went and sold all of his possessions, everything that he had, to buy that field so he could dig up this treasure and it would be his. It was so valuable that he literally gave up everything to go after it. You see, the kingdom of God, the wisdom of God, are far more valuable than any earthly treasure that we could ever have. Let me just say, guys, it's more valuable than fame. It's more valuable than good looks. It's more valuable than being a star athlete or getting a boyfriend or girlfriend or being rich and successful. It's more valuable than all those things. And so are we truly seeking and searching for God to speak to us? I'm not saying we shouldn't go after and pursue things, but those are just things we do. They're not who we are. They're not who we really are. The thing that should shape us most, the thing that we should go after the most is the kingdom of God and to seek and search Him. So there's a lot of ifs there in verses 1 through 4. But now let's get to the then part. This is the conditional thing. He says, if you do these, then this is what's going to happen. And let me just say, this is good stuff. And so I want you to listen carefully. So in verses 5 through 8, he kind of lists the first then. Then you will what? The first thing that happens when we pursue God, when we pursue His Word, when we direct our heart and all these things lift up and call upon God to speak to us, when all these things happen, when we pursue God in that way, when we pursue His Word in that way, it's kind of no-brainer. When you do these things mentioned in verses 1 through 4, you begin to have a deep reverence for God, and then you gain the big three. What's the big three? Wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Isn't that something that we hear often? That people want to understand things. They want wisdom. They want knowledge. They want all these things in life. And he says here, if you do this, then you're going to have wisdom. You're going to have knowledge. You're going to have understanding. And guys, when we study God's Word, it's amazing what we learn. It's amazing the things that we come in, that come into our hearts and minds. And as we've talked about many times together, and we're going to talk about at least one more time, our world is living in brokenness. Our world is harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And the average person today has no understanding of God's Word. And they're living their life in such a way that they have no idea, and they're just hoping for the best. I'm just going to try to get through. I'm just going to try to muddle through. I don't know how to make it through, so I'm going to do the best I can. And so they're doing the best they can. They're living their life while hoping for the best. And then they begin to wonder why their marriages or their kids or their jobs or their joys is beginning to get messed up. It's because they don't understand the wisdom of God. And the only way to have understanding and the wisdom of God is to pursue them. It's not going to come to us by osmosis. We don't just stick the Bible on our head and say, okay, tell me all I need to know. It'd be great if it would happen like that. But we have to pursue it. And so the only way to have understanding and wisdom is to pursue them. The only way to have God's blessing over our marriages and our kids and our jobs and our joy is to do things God's way. The way we do things, the way we do get things God's way is to know God's way. The way to know God's way is to study His way. And we do this by studying and applying His Word. We often have people in our lives, friends or family members, co-workers or whatever, who are struggling. They've made one poor decision after another. And their lives are messed up as a result. Things are going bad. They're going through a lot of difficulty. You know, sometimes I think we need to ask our friends and our family who don't know Christ and are living in brokenness and be very honest with them in a loving way. But to be honest with them, aren't you tired of living like this? Aren't you tired of your life being messed up? Aren't you tired of the constant brokenness? Aren't you ready for a change? Let me just say, this change comes through Jesus. You know why? It's because He's full of good news for you. He wants to enter your life. He wants to change you. He wants to be your Lord and Savior. I've been trying to convince this to one of the clients at the pantry. This guy's rough. I've told you about him before. This guy's vile. He's one of the most hardened people I've ever met. And the things that comes out of his mouth are pretty terrible. And he always talks about how bad his life is. And I said to him, aren't you tired of living like this? Aren't you tired of having these things happen in your life? Well, yeah. I said, you need Jesus. Yeah, whatever. But I'm praying that one day his heart will truly be changed and he'll cry out and call upon the name of the Lord. Because that's the thing. Jesus wants to enter our life and change us. He wants us to make him our Lord and Savior. He wants to fix the brokenness and change it into something that's beautiful. And how many times has God done that in our lives? Something was messed up, something was broken, something was not right, and when we gave it to God and said, Lord, I want you to fix it, it's amazing that he does it. And he turns something that is horrible and broken and mangled and messed up, and he turns it into something beautiful. The other day, we had a storm that rolled through St. Charles, and I had a little bit of damage at my house. The only thing that was torn up and mangled was my smoker. The wind or whatever picked up my smoker, threw it off of the deck, and tumbled over. And it's a mangled mess. And I wish I could go out there and just say, Lord, fix this. I know that's not going to happen. I know that he could, but it's probably not going to happen. But I think about our lives being that mangled mess of a smoker, and the Lord can just pick it up and reshape it and make it into something beautiful. In our lives, he can do that. So he wants to enter our lives. He wants to change us. He wants to be our Lord and Savior. And I mean, look at the promises of verses 7 and 8 again. What does he say? When we pursue the things of God, all of a sudden, what? His success is ours? That means our measure of success becomes different because we have a different master now. And so gone are the days when we're pursuing man's wisdom. God's wisdom is ours now. And also, he says our hearts are guarded. When we pursue the things of God, we become men and women of integrity. There's no more hiding. Our lives are an open book. And let me just say, there's much freedom in that when we have integrity. And then he says, we're going to have our life illuminated and we can see the path we're to take clearly. And God's justice will be ours through his son, Jesus. That means the wrath of our sins will be satisfied upon the cross of Jesus. And we'll be free from our sin through Christ. That's what happens when we pursue God. When we put our faith and trust in him. When we uplift our voices and ask him to speak into our lives. When we wholeheartedly seek after him. These are the promises that we receive. But there's more. Look at verses 9 and 10. The second part. Then you will understand righteousness, justice, and integrity, every good path, for wisdom will enter your mind, and knowledge will delight your heart. This is just another promise of us living out verses 1 through 4. What does he say? We will begin to understand God's path, his integrity, his justice, and his righteousness. And then notice verse 10. Wisdom enters our mind, which does what? It leads to a changed heart. Amazing how that works. This reminds me of when Jesus was asked what the greatest commandment was. Remember what he said? We all know. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And I got to thinking about that. One of the ways that we can begin to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength is to know who God really is. When we're getting to know our spouse, when we're in this engagement time, we're getting to know each other, and it's like you begin to find things out. It's like, wow, I love you even more than I did yesterday. Because I'm finding more out about you, your character, how you're shaped, how God has molded you and put your mind together and all the things that make up who you are. And so the more, in order to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, one of the ways that we can do that is to know who God really is. And a lot of people think they know God, They might even say they love him, but many people love him for what he gives them. They think, you know, God's this guy up in heaven. He's sitting in a rocking chair and maybe wearing a white robe, and maybe his hair is white and he's got a white beard, and he's kind of like our servant, and he should jump into action whenever we want. And whenever God doesn't come through the way that they want, it's like, I'm out of here. I didn't sign up for this. And they abandon him. So that's not a true love for God. So the way that we love God is to know him, and the way that we know him is by knowing his word and abiding in him. John 15:5, Jesus said, if a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. That's called abiding in Christ. And you remember several months ago I went to this conference out in South Carolina, and there was a lot of missionaries there, and I was sat by this one missionary that I'd met before in some of our travels. And so I was talking to him, and I said, how did you come to the point in your life where you knew that God had called you into missions? How did you know? Because this is a big step. I mean, this guy was successful. This guy was, you know, he was working on a farm. His farm was successful. He was having all this success in the world. And all of a sudden, he leaves all that and goes to a different country, uproots his family. I said, how in the world did you come to this point in your life where you did this? And this is what he told me. He says, because I was abiding in Christ. As I pursued the things of God, as I studied his word, God spoke to me. And I knew this is what he wanted us to do. So that's the key. When we abide in him, listen, we receive words from him. We receive wisdom. We receive a changed heart. And then we'll love him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And we'll follow the path that he wants us to be on, no matter what. There's conditional statements here. If you do this, then I'll do this. How many people do you know that say, I want wisdom? Well, we know how to get it. Pursuing God. Searching after him. Making his word our standard to live in. And let me just say, as I close out this morning, you don't have to be listed in who's who to know what's what. Remember those years ago, they would have these who's who, whatever. You could pay money and get your name in the who's who book, and you looked all important and whatever. You don't have to be listed in who's who to know what's what. We can know what's what when we pursue God and his word. Go ahead and go to that next slide there, Jordan. Have you truly been doing that? Have you truly been pursuing the things of God? If not, why not start over again this morning? See, that's the great thing about God, is he's a God of second chance, right? We can blow it over and over and over again, and there's God still giving us another chance, letting us start over. It's called revival. So why not start over again this morning? Or maybe you need to begin for the very first time. Maybe you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You can't really pursue after him because you don't really know him. To put your faith and trust in Jesus, here's what you need to do. Admit you're a sinner. Ask forgiveness and turn away from your sins. Believe that Jesus died and was buried and rose again, and then commit your life to Jesus. That's what it takes. It's a free gift, but we have to be determined to follow him. We have to be determined to follow what his word says, even though we may not agree with it, or even though it might not match up with what the world thinks, that we agree to follow it and make Jesus our Lord and Savior. So maybe that today is something you need to do. In just a second, Andrew's going to come and lead us in a song commitment, and maybe, you know, you need to make a decision. Whether it to be to begin to pursue God all over again, maybe you've walked away, maybe you're in a rut. I think we've all seen that video of the guy pulling the sheep out of the rut. And it's like, yay, he's free, and then he runs again and he jumps right back in the rut again. We've probably seen, you can look it up on YouTube. I mean, isn't that how it is with God? God pulls us up out of the rut, like we're free, and then we put ourselves right back in the rut and we're stuck there again. But God will keep pulling us out, right? He'll keep pulling us out. But we have to let him. So maybe you need to do that today. Maybe you need to commit to this church, make it your home. Maybe you need to be baptized. Say, oh, I'm already a Christian. Maybe you need to be baptized. Follow up in believer's baptism. Maybe God is calling you to go to Europe. We talked about the affinity of Europe earlier and why they need a gospel presence. Maybe that's you. I don't care how old you are, what age you are, where you're at in life. There is a path for you to go right now, and I can show you how you can go. We want to call out the called. Maybe that's you. Maybe there's another decision you need to make. I'll be here at the front. You can come talk to me. You can fill out the Connect card. Let me know what you need in your life, and I can contact you this week. Drop it in the offering box on your way out. Go online, click the Connect link there. You can do it all online electronically. If that's your cup of tea, you can do it that way. But let us know what's going on so we can help you in your walk spiritually. All right? Let's pray together, and then we're going to let God work. Father, we thank you today for what you're doing in the heart and lives of our people. We pray this morning that you would speak to us. Help us to know what we need to do, where we need to go, what we need to say, the decision we need to make. Thank you, Father, that when we pursue you with all of our heart, that you give us your wisdom and your knowledge. It becomes easier to love you and to follow you. And Father, you've not left us alone. You've shown us the way. You've given us the condition by which we can know you even more. Father, help us to know that and apply it. Lord, we love you, we thank you, and we praise you, and we ask all this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.